What's up, Hoodat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast.
All right, what's up, Hoodat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk skill rating right now is a 0/1, maybe. I got myself a vodka and juice.
Kind of juice?
This one's cran cherry, I think.
I figured there'd be a cran in it.
Yeah, I like my vodka and crans.
You do.
What's wrong with vodka cran?
You cran it in there all the time.
Cranning.
Sammy.
Alright, last episode we had a couple of practices to overreact to, and now we have a whole preseason game to overreact to. And apparently the great debate of who will succeed Drew Brees is settled depending on who you talk to. Because just like in politics, it seems like both the Bridgewater camp and the Taysom Hill camp have only dug deeper into their positions based on the performance of each of their favorite players. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go with a 2. Right. Had a pre-dinner cocktail, and then I didn't realize we were going out to dinner, but we went out to dinner, had a couple of beers, and now I've got a post-dinner transfusion.
Oh.
In my Saints boot cup.
You like the transfusions.
I mean, it's a good summertime drink. It's still the summertime. It's hot as hell outside. It's been hot for the last 2 weeks. So.
True that. All right, and Damon, welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling good, yes.
All right, good job.
Excited? Yes. Yeah.
Did he call you Jess?
Jeff.
Oh.
His audio sucks.
His face sucks, too. It just says Damon.
Well, this is better. This is an improvement. I think he
You're
made
right.
some good choices.
At least we don't see him washing dishes this week, right?
Right, yeah. We're going to welcome, I can see Scott's joining. He's watching the show, as is tradition. And John Tyson, second week in a row. Welcome, John. If you are watching, like I know them because I'm friends with them on Facebook, but if you are watching and you want to say hello, we'll say hello back, and feel free to participate in the show anytime you want. In the meantime, why don't we get started with
Game Recap!
Better get in the season mode, man. It's here.
Minnesota's Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3 outplayed our Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3, respectively.
But it's hard to judge this season. These guys are just trying not to get hurt. It's hard. Like, unless you're a guy on the bubble that has to play your ass off,
well,
and
considering that, I mean, Drew Brees and Cam Jordan didn't even see the field.
The two best players on the team didn't play.
Right. Well... definitely the best, but anyway, you know, look, I mean, I figure the only three takeaways, and you kind of hit on it earlier, Jeff, you know, Teddy Bridgewater looked good, you know, right?
Yeah,
look,
he did.
He moved the ball, ran the offense. We didn't get in the end zone, but
right,
I mean,
kept the up tempo. Well, and I read this after, you know, kept the up tempo pace. I mean, okay, so that's good. You know, McCoy looked real good, right?
Yeah, McCoy feel good about, good.
Yeah, feel good about the offensive line. Okay?
I feel good about my prediction that McCoy is a starting center. And Jeff was like, no, it's Easton!
Did he call you Jeff? Jeff.
Remember that?
I did. You know, now he just wanted to see what he could do, and Easton's going to play the next game.
He's going to be our swing guy, which is fine.
He's an Easton.
And then,
he's a bat.
Right. And then the third takeaway, and again, like Jason said, it's preseason, so I'm not ready to, you know, give up yet. But holy shit, we have no pass rush. You know, no pass rush. And again, Cam Jordan didn't play.
He didn't. And I know, you know, like we expect a lot out of Davenport this year. And
yeah, I'm like,
you know, but again, it's like, you know, or that he's not really at full bore, like 100%, let's go at it, game day, you know, regular season game day. So you can kind of play it off a little bit there. Like, it's not, you know, it's preseason. Like, I'm not going to overreact and get super worried. Like, it's crazy that people were like, oh, man, yeah, this Bridgewater, what the fuck is this? you know. Now, granted, we've been blessed with Breeze for 15 years, and that shit just ain't happened whenever he's gone. Like, that's something things that people have to realize. You know, it's like Bridgewater did just fine. You know, there's a lot fucking worse out there. He did fine. And the fact that people are like, he's not the answer.
This shows how spoiled fans are, and it is a rude awakening. You're not going to have a Drew Brees. You're going to have a quarterback who makes mistakes.
Dude, it's going to be so shitty when he goes.
Right. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is not – the problem that people have, the Teddy Bridgewater haters hate the fact that he's not Drew Brees. But if you never had Drew Brees – imagine Teddy Bridgewater coming after Aaron Brooks.
Yeah. We'd be thrilled.
Right. Hey, he can throw straight.
Or imagine him coming after Billy Joe Hobart or Billy Joe Tolliver. You know, we'd be like, geez, this is the best quarterback we've ever had.
Even coming after Bobby Hebert, we'd be like, hey, we stayed good.
Yeah, right. Right, we'd be thrilled. It's, you know, it's that in combination of people just thinking, oh, God, what happened in the preseason, like, this means something. It's like people just overreact because they've been waiting for football for so long, and they're ready to everybody's ready to get up and angry. Right.
This was supposed to be like NFC Championship game number two here. Like, we're gonna make. Now, I did find the irony that the first play, like, we were on defense, but like they threw a flag. It's like, hey, there's your makeup call, everybody. You got your flag. But no.
I mean, that will be one thing. We're going to boo the shit out of the refs all season long.
Good.
Which is perfectly fine.
And we should.
That's understandable. Yeah, and we should. Now, it's something, you know, if you want to be picky and say, okay, maybe that's not just preseason. I mean, there were a couple of instances where our defensive backs didn't look back and locate the ball. You know, like Eli Apple did it. Patrick Robinson looked iffy, you know. I'm not thinking like, holy shit, the world's over, this sucks. But it's something like, even if you're not playing 100%, you know, it's technique to look back for the ball. If you wanted to point to something, you know, that could, you know, be somewhat meaningful, you could say that maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, the DBs are going to be, you know, going to have a hard time one-on-one, you know, man-to-man, if we can't get a passer.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah. There is that too. And again, it's like everybody's not playing 100% because nobody wants to get fucking hurt right now. That's the one key takeaway to a lot of this. Unless you're a bubble player that has to play your ass off, you're just playing not to get injured. So, you know, you can't look into these results.
All
right, Josh Kara is asking, what do you think of Robert Kelly's role with the Saints?
He got cut, so he has no role.
There you go.
Fat Rob Kelly, he got hurt, and we cut him.
All right, next.
That must be a Tulane fan, because he's a Tulane guy.
Josh, are you a Tulane guy? Your profile pic has you in a green shirt, so I think so.
Yeah.
All right, so then what'd you think of the running back play? What's his name? Ozigbo?
I was more worried, like, Murray. Murray played all right.
Murray was a fine fill-in for Ingram.
Yeah. Which, I mean, look.
I think he's going to be.
Yeah.
He might be an upgrade.
I don't know about – look, I've said this on the show dozens of times. What was so great about Ingram – was he, you know, he was at 5 yards average carry, okay? That's what Sean Payton needs from a running back. And I was talking with a buddy today. Not only was he got you the yards, you know, the average you needed, he didn't bitch and complain about not getting 25 carries a game. You know?
Yeah.
And I think we'll probably get to it later, but, you know, and Ezekiel Elliott is going to bitch if he doesn't touch the ball, you know, 20 plus times,
or get a contract,
Sean Payton, right? In a Sean Payton offense, that you're not only Drew Brees going to touch the ball that much, you know.
And I don't think Murray's going to do that either. And I'm sure Murray and Kamara both know it's going to be, you know, split time to keep each other fresh. But I like the fact that you know, they kind of worked him out of the backfield a little bit. He caught some passes. It was kind of stunning to watch it and see him be like, holy shit, that's a big dude. Like, he's like 6'3".
Yeah.
I did not realize how big he was.
Right. He's like 6'8". Like, man, he looks like a freaking tight end out there running out. Because Ingram's like, what, 5'8", 5'10"? Like,
right.
Ingram's stocky. That's what we're used to. And then and Murray is like, oh, okay. But again, like, I think he's going to be fine. And I know in the offseason there were some questions about, oh, maybe he's a bust. You know, maybe we paid too much for him. But I think he's going to do what we need him to do in the offense. He was a quality player in Minnesota. He's going to be a quality player now. I think it's going to be fine.
He's a good pass catcher, isn't he?
It does. I mean,
he caught well.
It seems like
Friday
he might
night.
Be a little better than Ingram. But and look, it sucks not having Ingram back. We loved Ingram after his initial, you know, 3 yards on a cloud of dust. But you know, I think
you're gonna have angry Murray.
Present. I think he alleviated any kind of fears some people have. I think he's gonna be fine. I don't think we need to worry about him.
Absolutely.
No. I didn't bring him up to worry about him. And in fact, I think if anything,
I was a little worried
settled.
When Ingram left. I maybe like you said, I just didn't like it. I definitely didn't like it.
The way everything unfolded just didn't, you know, it wasn't right. Like, I hope the guy Ingram fired his fucking agent. Did you see there was a picture of him on the sideline at the Ravens game?
Dalton Belgard, but he's not Ingram.
Ingram just looked like he didn't want to be here, like he wanted to be in the same sideline. And aww. I'm sure that's just the case of, oh, they just caught that moment and can spin
yeah,
it the way they want
yeah,
to. But,
yeah.
but you know he...
Well, because Baltimore Twitter, this is one thing I will say, like Baltimore Twitter is loving some Ingram. They're all shocked and amazed at how awesome he is. And like they're all loving his personality because I guess like they're showing him in practice, they're getting some kind of video clips of him, you know, his personality, and they're like, I had no idea this guy was, you know, this Ingram was like that, and he's awesome and he's amazing, and they're just falling in love with him, and it only makes you as a Saints fan like more jealous or miss him even more. But it also kind of made me happy to see that like these other fans are getting to enjoy him, and it, you know, there's a little bit of a connection between us and Baltimore. And all the Saints fans on that same Twitter thread were telling all the Baltimore fans, like, man, you got a good one. Enjoy him. Embrace him. He's fantastic. We wish you all well. I mean, it was such a, especially in Twitter where it's such a hate-filled space now. It was so nice just to see fans from two different teams, two different cities, actually getting along with one another and not bitching about stuff. It was just all over our shared love for Mark Ingram.
It helps that they're in the AFC.
Absolutely. Fuck the Falcons.
If he'd have went with the Falcons, that might have been some different.
If you'd have gone to San Francisco, if you'd have gone to some of these NFC teams, fuck him.
Right. So that's the only good thing his agent did.
Right.
And Scott just threw us a throw-up emoji, I'm guessing because he's just sick over the fact that we lost Ingram.
It's the way
the NFL works. Yeah. Or sports. Yeah,
now,
you're right.
Now, listen, one thing you can take away from the game is that we still have the best kicker in the league.
Eh? What do you have, a 52-yarder?
He was 4 for 4. That's all I know.
All right.
I mean, again, we don't need to worry. If Lutz is coming on to kick, you know, obviously he's going to miss.
Are you ready to?
During the year, but I'm not worried.
Are you ready to put Lutz in the Morton Anderson reliability category?
No.
He's close. I mean, when he comes on the field, I'm not worried. I don't think he's going to miss it. I do not think he will ever. I mean, and he will miss a kick or two. It's just bound to happen. But Morton did the same thing. Morton missed kicks, but I feel very confident if we need a field goal, I'm very confident that he's gonna.
Yeah. I'm actually more confident the longer the kick. Anything else about the game? Anything about the camp?
I mean. I think Michael, but the last time we recorded was like the night before Michael Thomas signed his deal.
Yeah. And Scott did text me a quick, Scott, why don't you post the question in the live stream chat while we talk about Michael Thomas about, you had a question about the meal, I think, or something. But anyway.
The what?
I don't know. He's going to type it in there. But yeah, Michael Thomas signed a contract.
Big deal. Got paid a lot of money.
I'm kind of a big deal.
But it's fine because Like, Julio's working on a deal. I'm sure his deal is going to be more. And the salary cap, like we said, the salary cap keeps going up. It seems like a big deal now. And traditionally, teams with high paid receivers don't win. But in 2 years, he might be the sixth highest paid receiver. And we're all going to forget about all this.
Oh, Kelsey Muller on the live stream. Hello from Wyo. I'm assuming that's Wyoming. Year-long listener, first time catching you guys live.
Ah, very nice.
What's up, Kelsey? It's a lady.
Oh, we need Thomas, and we said it. We need him. You know, we can't win without him. So it's good that they didn't let that linger too long. Like, you know, kind of like we thought. So.
Well, and the contract was it? I don't know if you want to talk about it, but it really doesn't hurt us as much. Like, to be the highest paid receiver in the history of the NFL, the way that Loomis structured the deal.
We have an out in 2022. If we wanted to cut bait, we could. Like without getting too penalized, there is an out if shit blows up and we have to, you know. But I mean, you know, part of the Thomas deal. And can we talk about there's going to be other guys coming down the pipeline. Like Kamara next year is going to be the same thing. He's going to go into the last year of his deal, and he deserves to be paid a lot more than what he's making. So. And you're going to have Ramchek, and you're going to have Lattimore. You know, there's going to be some guys coming up. But, hey, you do what you can right now to keep it going. I mean, Loomis is good at this stuff. So.
Well,
I mean, look, we're going to lose people. Like, I think Andrew's Pete is going after this year. I don't think we keep him. I think he's a casualty after this year. I think we let him go. And then Jeff can see his boy Easton get some playing time.
He's swinging.
But anyway, again, my buddy and I were talking today, and we were speaking of contracts, and we were talking about Michael Thomas and talking about how all in like Dallas with Dak, and we'll get into that probably a little later in the show.
But how
you know teams, you know, once you have to pay your quarterback, how it really, you know. You look at the teams who are doing well, you know, the Rams with Goff and his rookie deal, Kansas City, and these players are good too, don't get me wrong, but they're all on team-friendly rookie contracts. And even look, after Breeze became the highest paid player in the NFL, you know, we suffered after that. But even now, with Breeze making what he's making, those 16 and 17, I think it was 16 and 17 or 17 and 18, the draft just killed it. Because like what you said, Jason, Kamara's on a friendly deal. Thomas was on a friendly deal. Lattimore's on a friendly deal. Ramchek's on a friendly, So we did it.
Marcus Williams on 4 years to practice with the Chargers. And on practice this week, Kamara did not practice for a couple of days. I think Ramchek left practice yesterday, walked off with the trainer. I mean, obviously, we don't know any news, but, you know, I mean, I'm not – at this point, I'm not worried because if they don't come back, they're just going to be super cautious. But one of the things – another thing that kind of stung about last year is that, for the most part, we had pretty good injury luck last year. Are you worried at all that may hit us some this year? Because – I mean, look, we've had some years where we had a shit ton of guys in the IR. Last year, we were...
Well, 2017.
We had a lot of guys in the IR.
Right, and 2009, too, if you remember, we had to bring the Predator off the street.
You're right, but at the end of the year, everybody came back. So, and like last year, like Armstead missed a lot, but once Armstead got hurt, I don't think he was ever the same. Unger was kind of beat up at the end.
Yeah.
But for the most
part, it was, that's why he retired.
Right. And like Ted Ginn missed some time. But other than that, we were pretty good. But like, you know, like if Ramchek goes down or if Kamara goes down, or God forbid Michael Thomas goes down.
Well, that's just it. Well, speaking of receivers and before we get off the Saints, who's that receiver? Who's the camp body?
Lil Jordan.
The
superstar, Emmanuel Butler?
Butler. Yeah, he didn't get to see any playing time. I'm hoping.
Well, he got hurt last week.
Well, yeah, he was hurt.
Right. No, I know. I mean,
but he's back at practice now. So,
Right, I know. I mean, so I want to, because even though they've been, you know, pumping them up during camp, you can't make the team on the bike.
You're right. And that was another thing about the preseason game. Lil Jordan had a good touchdown catch, you know, in that game.
Because
you really hadn't heard about him at all in practice.
No.
So it was good to see him. I hadn't. But it's good. You know, he got a lot of hype because he was a pretty good receiver at Texas in college. So it's good to see him make a play in the game.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's another thing to take away from preseason games is if there's a young player or a player on the bubble that can pop and make a play, that's what you like to see. And Lil Jordan was one of the players that did do something this game. So that's a positive takeaway.
All right. Anything else? You're good?
Go Saints.
All right, I'm going to take us into, actually, before we get to NFL Reach Around, I'm going to take us into Look at Him Tweets. We got a few actual tweets here from this week, because I actually asked for tweets in time, not an hour before the show.
Look at you being a producer.
That's right. I'm trying. I'm trying to get back into game mode. It's preseason. You know?
Right? You're still in offseason. You're still working the rust out, huh? Trying to trim those extra LBs.
That's right. I do got to trim some. All right. So Dalton Belgard, will Brees be out as a Saint regardless of retirement next season for the Bridgewater era to begin?
No. Sean Payton is not going to push Drew Brees out.
I don't think he's a pusher.
If we were to win the Super Bowl,
that's what
Brees
I think.
Might. I mean, he might just say,
retire.
Well, right. But that means he's out. But I know.
Dalton's actually question is regardless of retirement.
Right. That's what he said. He said.
No. We're not pushing him out until he's ready to go.
Right.
That's what I was.
All right, this one is from Neil. One for Damon. Did you prefer Jeff Blake or Aaron Brooks? I saw Blake play on my first visit to the Superdome.
I thought Jeff Blake. I like Jeff Blake.
Yeah,
I like him. Yeah.
I think Jeff Blake would have won that playoff game. I think Jeff Blake
100%.
And he'd have probably won the next year, too.
I think he was a more cerebral quarterback than Aaron Brooks.
I mean, he may have won several more seasons because, man, he was good. Like, what were they when he got hurt? We were like,
Well, fuck you, Jason.
We were like 8-2 when he got hurt. Like, we were doing really well.
I don't think we were there, but we were close. Right.
Maybe 7-3. So we were something like that.
We were playoff bound.
Right. And Jeff, that's why I always. Jason, why I get mad at you when you say, oh, Aaron Brooks won our first playoff game. Jeff Blake would have won the first playoff game, you know.
But he didn't.
Because he got hurt.
But he got hurt.
Okay, that's fine. He got hurt.
Because he would have got hurt. But that did not make Aaron Brooks a good quarterback.
He was better than Bobby Hebert. Yeah. He won our first playoff game.
No, he was not better.
He had a better team around him.
He had a better team around him. And he had Mike McCarthy, not
Carl Smith.
Not Carl Smith.
No. I'll go say he was better than Bobby.
No, he was not better than Hebert.
Okay.
Bobby Hebert.
How many playoff games did Bobby Hebert win with one of the best defenses in the league at the time? How many playoff games did he win?
None. The answer is zero.
He did win the USFL championship.
Oh. A Donald Trump league.
It's a huge league.
Big in 1985.
Huge.
No, actually, Donald Trump said they're small potatoes. He said with small potatoes.
Was he talking about his balls?
Oh! All right. Greenbaum tweets in, says, who was the leading rusher in the first preseason game? I'll give you a hint. His initials.
You got it?
TH.
Maybe, do we need to do it?
Maybe I'm a three.
Right?
His initials are TH.
You know who's not going to be a long-term quarterback in this league? I think his initials are a TH.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I mean, running quarterbacks don't wear. But
look, well, just also like
you,
know,
you didn't
like,
talk enough about him during the game recap. That wasn't. What did you think of Taysom Hill's performance?
We talked
about Bridgewater, okay. But
he played okay. But for people to say, "Oh, well, Taysom should be the guy," Bridgewater is a better quarterback than Taysom Hill. I don't think you can argue that right now. Taysom Hill's fun. You know, there's a lot of things that Taysom can do, and I like how we've incorporated him into this offense. But if right now you said, okay, Breeze can't play, who's your quarterback? It's Bridgewater. It's not even close. And Taysom still continues to do Taysom things. That's his thing.
That's why he's here.
He's not a good enough quarterback yet. But he does do a ton of other shit that is incredibly
I still maintain, not right. He's an athlete. Who can throw?
Right. If you need him to throw a pass or two a game, that can happen. But in terms of a full-time quarterback, sorry.
Well, but Jason, what about this? What if the reason he's not progressing as a full-time quarterback is because he's being asked to focus on so many other things? But if he had a sole focus on the quarterback, I mean, the guy's got to learn the entire playbook. Right,
but I think they're giving that to him. I think he is getting a lot of reps at.
But I guess so would a quarterback.
No, like I mean, think about it this way too. Like, we're not going to give him a shit ton of reps in other positions because we already know we can just give it to him. He'll make something work. He's going to be able to do it.
Right.
Like they're not going to put him on punt blocks in practice because they know during a game, hey, go out there, do something. Like he's good enough to do that. I think he's in the quarterback's room in camp. He is doing all the things a quarterback can do because they want to see if he can be a quarterback. They're not going to limit that right now.
Okay.
So he is getting all the opportunity.
Who is fucking jiggling something?
I'm jiggling my balls, but other than that, everything's fine.
Right.
You somebody at your house, Damon?
Are
I don't
you,
know.
Are you sure it's not your cat?
Meow, shut up, my cat. Are you washing dishes? All right. Chris Holloway, in hindsight, what was a more fun regular season? 2009 or 2018? And he went on, Meach around, Pat shellacking, Miami comeback, Philly ass kicking versus Breeze Spinorama touchdown, yards wow. record, Michael Thomas flip phone, Philly ass kicking. Which one was more fun, last year or 2009?
Man.
Season, regular season. He's not talking about playoffs. We all know which playoffs were more fun.
Right. But think about it. Like in 2009, like we had 13 weeks of being undefeated in 2009. That was pretty fun. And the fact that we were at that Miami game, that was awesome, you know.
I got to say 2009 was more fun because of that. And it was the whole, you didn't have the expectation. So it was a funner ride where last year there were stressful games. Oh, and I will add the Baltimore missed kick to last year's highlight reel. But the point is that it had to come down to Tucker's missed kick to win that game, whereas the 2009, the games were fun.
Well, the
Falcons Thanksgiving game, that was also fun. There was a lot of fun games
but also,
this year.
Like, how fun was it to see like the best kicker in the league in the last 5 years, missed that kick, and you're like, how fun is this?
That is fun.
And remember the Cleveland game, yes, it was stressful. Their kicker missed like three kicks. And it's like, oh, Cleveland.
The Falcons Thanksgiving game was extremely fun. That was so fun. I'll never forget it. So, yeah, 2018 was a fun year.
I mean,
so
like,
multiples of nine. Every 9 years. I can't wait to 2027.
Oh, God. I mean,
all right. That's our look at him tweets. I'm going to take y'all now into NFL reach around. First thing we'll talk about is Antonio Brown. Crazy or what's wrong with wanting to play with your own helmet? I mean, think about, we ask ourselves all
the time. That's what I used to tell my parents all the time. Looks like a helmet.
We know. All right, so we know what you're meant. All right, let me recover from that.
You can't, but that's okay.
Right. Okay, so Antonio Brown. At first, I thought he was crazy, but I'm starting to think about how many superstitions you have. Like Scott told us,
it's not superstition.
All right, fine, not even superstitions. But if you played, or when you played sports, even as a kid or being younger, Jason, you played kickball even as recent as like last year or last week, even. Didn't you have certain routines that I gotta wear this pair of socks, these underwear, this shorts, I gotta do this, I gotta do like that. I mean, you have a certain routine. He's got a certain helmet, and he also pointed out that the reason he wanted that helmet more than any other reason was because of his vision, and that the new helmets block his vision.
But how about protecting your brain?
Fuck your brain.
That's part of the NFL's problem. They've been fucking their brains. For 20 years, they're trying to protect the brain. But hold on, this is even before the helmet. What about his fucking frostbitten feet? What about that? He went into a chamber and forgot to put on like protective covering, and his feet were fucking frostbitten.
No, John Gruden said that was not his fault. That was the trainer's fault. Somebody was supposed to take care of that or whatever. I don't know. It wasn't him. And I think it's, how much of it is manufactured stories for Hard Knocks? I mean, I don't think he got frostbite for Hard Knocks, but the helmet thing.
No, there definitely could be some. But
because the moment they did the ruling, he's like, oh, I'm going to focus on my team. Everything's fine.
But look, the other players have to wear these helmets according to, you know, whatever quote-unquote safety guidelines they have. And he's got a problem with it? Like, everybody else can abide by the rules. Why can't you?
Because Hard Knocks cameras are there.
Maybe, but also
that's not why he's not with the team. I mean, the dude left camp.
Also, just think about back to Pittsburgh last year. He didn't even play in week 7 when he was healthy.
Right.
Because he wasn't voted like team MVP.
Do you think it's possible that he is self-centered?
He is one of those old school.
Yes, he's an asshole.
Receiving divas. He's an asshole. I guarantee you. He's an asshole. Pittsburgh is excited as shit that they don't have to deal with.
They're so happy.
Oh yeah.
Oh, they're so happy.
And y'all thought
gone.
Terrell Owens was an asshole.
But when did he become an asshole? Once they paid him.
And look, he's been arguably the best wide receiver for the last 5 years.
So he's a junior Gillette.
No.
You know, there's no denying he was great, but he's an asshole now.
He's an asshole.
I'm an asshole. He's an asshole. What's that song?
But you're right. Again, with his helmet, he said it had nothing to do with superstition.
I didn't mean superstition, but I meant more like this is the helmet that I'm comfortable playing
it's,
with.
Like you
and
said,
I
it's vision.
It.
It's they had somebody, I think Greg Jennings was on ESPN, Fox Sports 1, and he was saying, look, you know, he had to change helmets, and he had a picture of his helmets up on the TV. And he said, you know, look at where this bar was, look where this bar was. So, you know, it messed with my vision. The face mask was longer, so when I turned my head, it would hit my shoulder pads, and that played into my brain, you know. So on that part, I get it. But look, the NFL made a ruling. It's you move on. You're not going to play with the helmet, okay? It doesn't meet their safety standards. So you just move the fuck off. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you know, you are a self-centered son of a bitch. Come on, man, get it. You know, get in here.
He said, "I can't be as good as I was if you're blocking my ability to play the game." For how many years you've been okay with me using this helmet, but now I'm not.
Well, not now.
Equipment changes. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
get with it. So do the rules. The rules change too, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Life. That's life. If you live long enough,
things
change.
All right. You know? Speaking of other stuff,
before, remember when you were younger, you had to go look under sink for porn. Now you got it in your your phone.
We had to go to Damon's house to get our magazines.
Under the sink.
Greenbaum did mention, by the way, for the Twitter conversation, last season was more fun. Look at the locker room after the game.
I wanted to jump into that. It was, you know, man, that Philly game, or was that rant? I think it was the Philly game. The Philly game, when they put chopper style on, and they were, and they panned over in the dome, and they panned over to the sideline.
Oh,
and
you
had Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas dancing. Dude, that was fun.
That was fun. We had a couple of good blowouts, like that blowout up in Cincinnati last year.
That
was the first game of the gauntlet, wasn't it? What we referred to as the gauntlet. Yeah,
remember when we had a gauntlet?
We called it the gauntlet, and it wasn't really a gauntlet.
Not so much.
That's right. All right, so the other thing is the Dallas situation with Dak Prescott. I'm going to run to the bathroom, David. I know you wanted to talk about this. I'm going to go refill my drink.
It's funny that Dak Prescott, he's in camp. the thing there is he reportedly turned down $30 million and he asked for 40.
The 40 number has been revised.
And when they say, well, he was offered $30 million a year, look, you know, the devil's in the details. You know, how much of that was guaranteed? How much was that, you know, reasonably assumed that, you know, he'd make? So both of those things are questionable.
Apparently it was somebody from the Cowboys that leaked. Oh, he wanted 40. You know, to make them look good.
Put pressure on.
Dak look like an asshole.
So. And they might have asked for 40. You know, it's called negotiation. You go low, I go low, you go high.
Look, I hope to God they pay him a shit ton of money, because while he's a good quarterback, he's not that level quarterback.
Well, you're right. But that's what a starting quarterback goes for.
That's the thing. Like, you know, let them pay him a bunch of money, because that means some other team is going to have to.
Well,
it's weird. It's like, you know,
Amari Cooper needs to get paid. Zeke needs to get paid.
Right. Zeke's not even in camp.
Right. That's the real story. He's in Cabo. I think he sits out the year.
Well, and he's still, and this is the weird, because he's still got 2 years left. If he had 1 year left on his deal, that'd be one thing. But
and if y'all listen to any other shows during the week, obviously y'all heard all of the arguments that we're spouting here. But not that, Zeke was a number one pick.
Right. Dak
was a fucking fourth rounder.
Right.
His contract ain't shit.
Yeah, he's making peanuts. I think Zeke was the fourth overall, so he's still making at least probably three or four. Now, granted, it's probably not what he should be making, and with running backs, you know, with Kevin Gordon hold out in this, and with Kamara, like, if you're a running back, like I get it, because the NFL spits them out quickly. So
I get
one they get paid now. You know, it's a weird. It's almost like, fuck, running back should be. Like, if you're that good right away, it's almost like there should be a different pay scale. And I get that. I'm all for running backs getting paid what they can while they can, because in three or four years, you can't get shit.
Right. But, you know, Zeke's making $7.9 million this year. Okay. Dak's making.
I don't even think he's making a million, right?
No, he's making 2.1.
Wow.
I'm surprised that it was even that high.
Me too. Yeah, who's the third or fourth round?
Right. Ezekiel Elliott's contract is, you know, 5 years or 4 years, but, you know, they have the team option fifth year.
Right.
It would be $33 million.
But he's still getting paid a decent chunk of money.
Right. He's still getting paid. Right. So 16, he made 4.5. Last year, this is Ezekiel Elliott. He made 5.1.
Yeah, so it's not like he's not.
Last year, he made 6.8. This year, he's making 7.9. And again, you know, this is the last year of his deal. But again, it's a team option, fifth year,
right,
he'd be making nine.
Right. But all these good players, like, we're picking up the fifth year option on Lattimore.
Right. Right. Okay. Dak, his whole fucking his whole, right now, he's in the last, now Dak is in the last year of his contract.
Okay, which is understandable, and he's a quarterback.
Right. Right, because he was fourth round draft pick, so you don't get the team option.
Right.
So his whole contract was $4 million.
What are you doing, Jason? Stretching?
And
I'm not really on a bed. I can't wait till we're in the new house and I don't have this bed backdrop.
Right. But Dak, you know, all right, so this year he's set to earn 2.1.
Can't do it. Right,
last year he made $725,000. Year before that he made $600,000. Year before that he made $500,000.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of money, even for a football player.
Right. He's making undoubtedly three times as much with his endorsements.
Yeah.
If not more. Right. If not more. His Campbell Soup ad, I'm sure, paid him more than $4 million.
Roberta Mel says, who dat, baby? Go on. Keep on.
Okay, no, that was it. I mean, so Dak deserves to get paid. He deserves to be $30 million. That's what quarterbacks are going for. Do I think he's worth it? Fuck no. You know, I don't think he's an elite. I don't think he's a Brady Breeze.
No, but he's probably worth at least 20, 23 to 25 million.
I mean, sure.
It's the going rate right now.
But correct. But the going rate from where he's at is 30 because he's a starter, made it to the playoffs,
which they won the division. I hope to God they pay him 30 right, because right. Great.
Oh, they're going.
I think you should hold out for the 40 though.
Yeah. Well.
At least five weeks.
He's a good guy. He is honoring his commitment. You know,
he's still a camp, and you can't say that about Zeke.
Right. Well, he's a good Mississippi boy.
But
I think he's actually, wasn't Dak Prescott born in Louisiana?
No, maybe. Because somehow.
No, maybe.
I'm sorry, Jason. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You sound like an authority on the subject.
Yeah, maybe.
Can't be wrong. Can't be wrong.
Jason's covered all of the bases there.
Can't be wrong.
So, see, no matter what,
I can't be wrong.
How many mock answers did you do, Mel Kiper?
Right. No, yeah, maybe.
I can't be wrong.
That's the fuck.
Yep.
Okay, Dak Prescott was born in Sulphur, Louisiana.
I was right!
And then he went to Harrington High School, H-A-U-G-H-T-O-N.
Harrington,
Louisiana.
Houghton,
which is in Bossier City, which is up there by
Shreveport, Bossier City, yep.
Cowboy country.
That's how
How about that?
That's our new laugh.
That's your new laugh. It ain't mine.
What?
All right, so we play the Cowboys in week 4. So I'd like for Dak and Zeke to hold out till week 5.
I'd like Zeke to hold out the whole season. I think that'd be fantastic.
All right.
He's been paid enough the first 3 years. He could actually afford it. It's not like he's been paid $500K a year. He's actually made some decent money. Like Damon
just
said. Zeke.
Is the comment.
They're actually two different people.
That's probably what I said.
I know, Jason, you think that all black people look alike, okay? But that's very, very racist.
Oh, my God. Only the ones who play for the Cowboys.
When they wear their helmets and shoulder pads.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, let's move on to Pelican Plus.
Yeah, yeah, Pat. pass the ball. Final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw. Too fast for y'all. You might take a nasty fall trying to stick with the prehistoric passenger.
Foul ball.
All rep, no physical.
Schedule came out on Monday, and you can really see the Zion effect. So, excluding the games on NBA TV, which I guess considered national TV games, but it's on basically the NBA network. The Pelicans have 20 nationally televised games across the combination of TNT and ESPN. And we actually have two games.
That's a quarter of the game.
Yeah, we have two games on ABC. This is the first time we've had a game on ABC since 2009.
Well, is that the Christmas Day game you're talking about?
No. That's one, and we have another ABC game, which ABC does like to showcase Saturday games in the spring. But just the fact that we have so many, like, everybody wants to see Zion.
Yeah. Well, again, Christmas Day.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a game on Christmas Day. I think once before in the Davis era, we had a game on Christmas Day. But this is a franchise record for nationally televised games, and Zion hadn't even played a game yet, which is crazy. Like, we're on opening night. We go to Toronto. They get their rings in Toronto, and we're the first game of the NBA season in a nationally televised game.
Hoo-ah.
I just show you how much people want to see Zion. Like, it's crazy. Like four of our first five games are on national TV. So the Zion effect is real. Now
I might be able to watch one.
You should watch them all. Get in. Get in with Zion. You didn't get in with Davis. Get in with Zion. Do it. Come on. Do it.
Davis. Do it. And it's a good thing I didn't get in with Davis. Look at where that would have got me.
He had some fun times. So Davis comes back. They announced that the Wednesday of Thanksgiving week, the Lakers come to town Wednesday, which is a crazy week. So we have that game Wednesday. On Thursday, the Saints play the Falcons. Then we have LSU against, I think, Texas A&M on Saturday. And then the Pelicans play home against the Warriors, I think Sunday or Monday night. So that's
pretty fun.
That's a sports extravaganza.
Fun stretch for sports. Now with Davis coming in, I know that's one of the games everybody's going to look forward to, because there's a lot of games this year where players go back. Like Westbrook goes back to Oklahoma City, Kawhi Leonard goes back to Toronto, AD comes here. All of our Lakers players, we go to, you know, the ones we got in the trade go to LA. So it's going to be fun. That, you know, being a holiday, usually that game's sold out anyway because everybody's back in town. But that's going to be probably the biggest game, you know, the most excitement-generating game here. And I hope there's more Pelicans than Lakers fans. Like, I hope Pelicans fans actually pay for these tickets and we don't just sell them to fucking Laker fans. But, you know, I know what I've seen over the last decade of having tickets. But things do seem a little different this time around, so we'll see how that works. It feels like there's an actual direction of the franchise now. Like, there's true leadership. You know, you can actually have a little faith, like, hey, you know what? I think this is actually going to work this time. You know, more than just random, like, oh, God, I hope this works. Like, it seems like they're doing it right. And part of the issue of having all these national TV games, and there was a good column by Scott Kushner from The Advocate this morning about, you know, this offseason has been a lot of excitement, but now with all these nationally televised games, it's like we're going to be out in front of the whole nation now to prove whether or not what we're doing is going to work or not. There's a little added pressure of now, you know, you can't just do it in anonymity where only the local markets are going to watch. Everybody wants to watch Zion right now, so... I mean, I guess it's a good problem to have. It's fun that your team is actually getting some excitement, and Jeff has the availability to watch games now. Not that you will.
I could always watch them, I think.
Well, you need to, you know, make it a point to be invested in Zion in a new direction.
Am I going to make money off of that?
Hey, if they win.
And I bet on them.
Oh, you got to go to Mississippi because our fucking legislators, even though we voted to pass daily fantasy, they couldn't figure it out.
Imagine that. All right. Yeah. Anything left? That's all we got for the Pelicans. Final thoughts, Damon.
look, it's preseason. They said not ready to jump off the bridge or buy my seats to Miami just yet. Looking forward to the next game. See how we do against the old Chargers.
All right. Jason, final thoughts?
So I bought Avengers Endgame on Blu-ray today. It's out. Greatest movie of all time.
Oh, did you wait in line for it?
Is that really a thought or more of kind of a statement?
Okay, that's a statement. I'll give a thought. My thought is I'm being that this could be the last year of the Breeze era. I decided to say I know we were talking a little about superstitions earlier, and my thought is I'm going to go back to the superstition. This hat I bought in 2009. It's just a white Saints fitted hat, and I wore it all season that year. I've worn it intermittently here and there, but it had got a lot of sweat on it, and it looked pretty dirty, but I brought it to the pool last weekend, and I got it cleaned a little bit.
you dipped it in the holy water of Riverlands.
I did.
So, championship water.
So I'm going to go back, and this is going to be my game day hat for every game this year, hoping that it brings the magic back.
Nice. I might break out the old visor. I haven't worn a visor since probably 2015.
Yeah, that wasn't a good year. We were 7-9.
I'm just saying.
Jason, when you go,
but
when you
it
go
is
to
the
work,
same visor that I wore in 2009.
What's that?
When you go to work, do you wear a hat?
Nope.
Thank you. What's that? I feel like he was going somewhere with it, but that was it.
No. Well, I mean, you rarely see Jason without a hat.
Only when I'm at work or when I'm at a nice gathering at a restaurant or a party or something. I don't wear hats. I'm courteous that way.
A gentleman doesn't wear his hat indoors.
Right. You see me like twice a year, maybe, and they're usually at a Saints game.
And on the show.
Well,
right.
Well, I'll see you on the show.
Okay, well, on the show,
you see him in hat wearing,
and we go on a vacation, and we the hat settings, okay,
yeah, hat wearing settings.
We've gone on vacations together.
Yeah, it's all about a hat wearing. I'm going to wear a hat when we go eat barbecue.
No, he didn't extend that courtesy to us, Jeff.
No.
He said he was courteous, and but he didn't extend it to us.
I'm glad. I don't like us.
It's on vacation. I wear when I go on vacation.
I think he's scary looking without a hat. I like him with the hat on.
What's the
I'm blind. That's a weird shaped head. Oh, Jesus Christ. What?
It's actually not. Jesus. It's actually not.
Yeah, do that again.
It looks weird to you because it's...
You got the big ridge on it? Look like some kind of goddamn... What's wrong with you?
Right, you're seeing that through a computer, a digitized.
Jeff, that's a nice looking head of hair you got there.
Thank you.
Yeah, but what would his head look like if it was shaved?
I don't know.
Ugly. That's why
we don't have to know.
Maybe y'all should find out.
That's why I have hair.
Jeff, next time I see you, we're gonna hold you down and shave your head.
No, they're all gonna laugh at you.
Actually, dude, you need a haircut. I need a haircut too. Why?
I don't need a haircut. I finally got my hair long again. That looks good. Look at that. Nice. That's sweet. All right. That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can follow us on Twitter for daily conversation. You can like us on Facebook to watch the live broadcast. You can subscribe on YouTube to watch or listen to us as an alternative to your podcast app. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, you can go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
Check out.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Richard.
One more thing that you say, is it a love for just the flame of worries away? You're all the things I've got to remember and shine away. I'll be coming for your love anyway. On me, take me on. I'll be gone.
Yeah,
take on me, take me on. I'll be gone. Yeah.
you, we're the real big fish.